Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation In the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the beyond nicotine experience with its beyond tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, beyond tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.
Broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
Right back out to the Raider Nation listener line. We've got Bernard, and he wants to talk about the coaching staff. How you doing, Bernard?
Hey, how you doing, Vinny?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to comment and get your take on a few things. So football, you want to be good in three phases, right? Offense, defense, and special teams. And I think, obviously, I think a lot of people agree the offense was very good, not great, only because of the red zone. Defense was poor, and special teams was really good. We could probably do a lot better on kickoff returns. I think the coverage was good. And so that, I think that goes right back to the coaching staff, right? Offense was good. So that's Gruden. And special teams, I forget his name. I can't pronounce it, but I know who he is. Very good
Rich
coach.
Rich Bisaccia.
Record. Rich Bisaccia. Thank you. Very good coach. His record speaks for itself. Now, does that mean that we have poor players on defense? I don't think so. And when you talked to Gus Bradley a few weeks ago, something that stuck in my head that he kept saying, you have to learn the learner. I don't know if you remember him saying that or not. And when he was saying that, it just made me think, man, this guy is a teacher. And the guys that he brought over with him are teachers. And I look at our personnel on defense. I don't think we have poor personnel. I just think that they have to be put in a better position, you know, to win and to make plays. So I just kind of want to get your take on that, because I look at the players and I'm like, man, we got some very good players that can perform a lot better, but they need some better coaching, man. And when he was saying learner, I said that's a teacher right there. And I haven't heard anything from the coach, from the players that we got now, but glowing things to say about him and the new staff that we got. So I'm really, really excited about that.
Yeah, and that is a great statement and a great way to put it. Learn the learner. And it's so important in life, not just, you know, in football, but as it relates to football, learn how people learn. Not everybody retains information the same way. Not everybody can be taught the same way. I think that in our schools, we're starting to learn that or have begun to learn that and have adjusted the way teachers teach. You have to do it. Now, it's tough sometimes in school because you've only got 45 minutes, an hour of class time with students. You've got 30 some odd kids in your class, if, you know, sometimes 40 or so. It's hard to teach it repetitively over and over again in all the various ways that you need to do it in order for everybody in the classroom to get it. But I think football coaches are beginning to understand how important it is to understand how people retain information. And we've talked about this before. There's certain players who, if you put it up on the chalkboard or on the whiteboard and draw it out for them, they're going to be able to get it just based on that. There's certain players who you verbally have to give them the information and explain it to them verbally. There's visual learners where maybe if you show it to them on video, it comes across better and is retained better. There's certain players who you have to go out on the field and literally walk it out on the field with them. And that's how they retain the information. And it's not a one size fits all. And I think Gus Bradley, that's a low-key brilliant thing that he says, is to learn the learner. Because if you, and that's part of getting to know guys and having a personal relationship with guys. Remember, we talked to Cleve Farrell in minicamp about Gus Bradley, and the first thing that he talked about was him, the man, and him trying to get to know everybody and talking to them, forget football, about life and about their life, get building a relationship, because one of the best ways, easiest ways to figure out what makes somebody tick to the point of understanding how to teach them and what's the best way to get the message across to that particular player. And you have to look at it as an individual and not just collectively, is to get to know that person. And so everybody that we talked to and that I've talked to have raved about Gus Bradley in terms of that, in terms of him building a relationship. The X's and O's and all that is going to take care of itself. But when you build a trust level, when you build a relationship, then everything else is going to organically flow from that point. And that's kind of what he tries to do. That's his MO, Gus Bradley. But getting back to your point of learning the learner, I remember talking to Aubrey Pleasant. He was the Rams defensive backs coach. He's now with the Detroit Lions doing the same job there. And we talked about that, you know, and teaching players and exactly what we're talking about. And some guys get it on the chalkboard. Some guys get it visually on the video. Some guys you explain it to, et cetera, et cetera. And for what he told me is, he goes, it's equally important, too, that everybody on the team and specifically the position group that you're dealing with understands that, hey, your teammates might learn differently than you do. And you have to have patience as a teammate to allow the coach, the teacher, enough time, even if it's repetitive to you, even if this is the third or fourth time that you've heard it, and maybe the third or fourth different way that you've heard it, to not complain, to not bitch and moan, to not tune out. Because just because you've got it and now you're bored with it, you have to respect your teammate who may, this may be how he learns, and this might be the best way. So this might be the fourth time for you, and I get that, but you got to be a professional, and you have to show your teammates respect and allow that time and for me to be able to teach your teammate the best way possible for that teammate. So, you know, not all coaches, I don't think, understand that or respect that or appreciate that element of it. I think more and more are getting to understand, hey, what you're doing for that guy, for number 26 or whoever, it's not working. He's not grasping it. He's not getting it. You have to take it a step further with him. This is how he best absorbs information. And you just have to be patient and understand that and figure it out. And one way or another, it's going to be, you know, absorbed by everybody, even if it's going to have to be a little bit repetitive in how you do it, or taking it to the field, or working on it with a computer, you know, with one of the being able to show it to them on a video stream. Whatever it takes, you got to figure out as a coach, as Gus Bradley said, you have to learn the learner. And make sure they understand that. You know, a coach that I talked to a few years ago also put it this way as well. You know, you have to understand as a coach that you're literally dealing with, in your position group, on your team, let's just say on your team, on, you know, the 50-some-odd players on your team, there might be times where your audience could be made up of a guy that went to Harvard, a guy that went to Stanford, Notre Dame, a guy that went to Southwest Kentucky State, you know. So you have to teach with that in mind. Like you're dealing with an array of education backgrounds as well, and you have to understand that. And you have to teach it in a way that everybody grasped it. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I was not made out to go to Stanford or Harvard. All right. I just wasn't. I wasn't that smart in high school and in school. Maybe I didn't apply myself as much as I should have, whatever the case might be. But I there are certain subjects that, you know, I couldn't either grasp or was lazy when it came to that, whatever the case might be. So I'm not knocking anybody because I'm amongst the people that I couldn't have been at Harvard. I couldn't have been at Stanford. I mean, I guess I could have, you know, maybe now where things are different. But at that point, I couldn't. And so you have to understand that. So you're dealing with a wide array of backgrounds and scholastic backgrounds and teaching methods and all that kind of stuff. And it's your job to be able to explain it in a way everybody ultimately understands it, because your success is based on their success. Bill Parcells told a great story back in the day. It was on his the biography about him. And he talked about how, we're going to go to the Raider Nation listener line because Joe wants to talk about, you want to talk about Richard Sherman. Joe, how you doing, man?
Thank you for taking my call. I saw it on the news, a little, you know, problematic, and it's sad, you know, because I think the Raider fans at least coveted Richard Sherman, and I don't see that ever panning out, ever moving forward. At least in my opinion. I just wanted to see your take on that. And before you give me your take, I did want to say Juan Viacho.
Go ahead.
As you know, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay. So, I just basically, I don't know if you heard what I said. I just wanted to get your take on it. I know it's a little bad to hear about everything that happened with Richard. And so,
Yeah, I mean, I saw some of the reports. I haven't been able to really take a deep look into what happened and what the allegations are and what led to it and all that. So it would be kind of hard to comment at this point. It's just a little bit too early for me. I've been kind of a little bit busy today, but it doesn't sound good, unfortunately. But I don't know enough of the facts to really give any kind of a definitive answer. During the break, I'll try to catch up with the latest. But to your knowledge, what is the latest? What was the latest on Richard?
Well, here on CBS in LA, they released a 911 call from his wife, and the wife basically had said, and I'm summarizing here, he wanted to break in to the house and get some things, and he was threatening to kill himself. And that's, you know, we've been, at least on your radio and especially with ongoing things, we've been really open about talking about mental health. And so it's maybe possible there's some mental health issues, especially when somebody wants to kill themselves over maybe.
Yeah, that sounds, I feel like I'm not in a position really at this point to comment. I want to listen to that audio tape to get a better handle on it before I ventured to. You know, it sounds like serious stuff, obviously, and mental health is, as we know, we've known for forever, really. But I think that now we're starting to get more into a place where people are more comfortable about talking about it. People are more open about listening to it. You know, when we had Solomon Thomas on recently, and you know, he's doing some really good things in terms of mental health awareness and you know, suicide awareness. You know, and how prevalent it is in certain communities, and trying to break down the stigma of mental health, and whether it's you yourself feeling it and understanding, hey, something's not right here, but not being afraid to talk about it. You're not being afraid to confide in somebody about it because you're worried what their reaction is going to be. Because, you know, I grew up in a time, I'll just say it, you know, where, hey, tough it out, be tougher, you squash it, set it aside, you know, it's nothing, you know, it's all in your head, just move on, you know, be tough, you know, and that's not a healthy way to do it. It's counterproductive, it's counterintuitive, and it does more damage than good. And I think that, you know, that kind of approach is probably still prevalent. You know, and unfortunately it is, and it's just educating people, not just the person that's going through some issues, to be able to have the confidence to confide without feeling like they're going to be told, hey, you know, be a tough guy, or it's all in your head, that type of thing. But also the education to the listener, to whoever that person decides to confide in, to not sweep it under the rug, to not say, hey, it's all in your head, forget about it, be tougher, you know, you're not supposed to be talking about that kind of stuff. And that's just as important as it is for the person that's going through some troubles to have the confidence to confide in it. Because if they do that and then it's met with everything that they've been worried about it being met with, imagine being in that position. So it's on friends and family members that when somebody that you care about comes to you with some issues, you're open about it, you know, and you're a listener, and you're a friend. And Solomon Thomas brought up a great point, which was, and don't feel like you have to solve it. People that are talking and expressing themselves along these lines, they're not looking for you to save the day. They're just looking for you to listen and to be open-minded about it. So, yeah, it sounds like a really tough situation. I haven't heard that audio tape yet. You know, I know I read this morning that something had happened, obviously, and Richard had been arrested. So we'll just have to kind of see how that all plays out. But, you know, if he was feeling a certain way, I hope that he gets the help that he needs. I'll try to take a look at that audio tape or listen here when I get a chance. But it is definitely a somber note. You know, whenever you see a player being arrested, and then it's Richard Sherman, who I think that, you know, we all have a lot of respect for. Just got to figure out what the facts are, and hopefully, thankfully, nobody got hurt. To whatever extent somebody needs some help right now, whether it's him, whether it's his wife, everyone gets the proper support that they need. So, yeah, definitely a tough situation. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. We got John, and he wants to talk about the contracts. I'm assuming he wants to talk about Raider contracts. How you doing, John?
Vincenzo, my man.
What's going on, John?
Hey, have a good trip in Italy.
Oh, I appreciate that, brother. Looking forward to it.
Hey, I got two questions. Number one, I'm getting on the bandwagon here, Raider.
Nice. Good.
I'm looking at the futures bet for the team total wins, and I'm stunned that it's 7.5. It just seems ridiculously low. I think good things are going on. And,
yes.
And number two, you know, when you get to know a team, unfortunately these days, you got to know the contracts and who's getting paid how much and so on and so forth. And I'm going through the contracts, and I'm noticing that a few players I stumbled on have voidable years attached to their contracts. They say it's really a 2-year deal. They have two voidable years. And I'm jumping off the Steeler bandwagon onto the Raider Nation bandwagon. And, you know, the Steelers did that with Ben this year just to get his cap number down this year. And the Raiders don't seem to have much of a cap problem. I'm just curious why they're doing these voidable years when they seem to have a healthy cap situation.
Well, who are you talking about? Was that the Corey Littleton contract?
I'm not in front of my computer right now. I should have looked it up and had my
it's not so much the voidable years that they're doing. What they're doing is they're doing their contracts in a way that when they sign a guy to a 4-year deal, let's say, all right, in recent history, Trent Brown, Terrell Williams, a wide receiver, I think even LaMarcus Joyner kind of fit into that category. If you study the contracts, it's a four-year deal, but all of the guaranteed money gets paid over the first 2 years. So what it does is it puts the Raiders in a great position after year two to decide, is this a relationship that we want to continue for the next 2 years or next year or whatever the case might be? Or is it not working out and we feel like it's time to go in a different direction? And by paying those contracts, the guaranteed portion of those contracts over those first 2 years, it means whatever is left on the contracts in years three and four are no longer guaranteed. So if the Raiders just decide we're going to release them, there's no effect to their payroll. They don't owe another penny to the player or to the salary cap. So they do it in a way that gives them as much flexibility in the future as possible. And that's why they're in such good shape with the salary cap. If you notice, I think next year the salary cap is projected to go up to $208 million. As of right now, the Raiders are projected to have about $60 million under the salary cap. And part of the reasons for that is the way they do their contracts. They're not going to overextend themselves in a way that puts the salary cap in a perilous position down the road. They've done that. Teams have done that. Everyone kind of, you know, sets their salary cap a certain way. But the Raiders, I think, learned some lessons along the way. And they don't want to get into that world anymore. They don't want to get into a world where they're paying players not to pay or play here, or you know, they suffer massive cap hits when that player leaves, and so he's eating up part of your salary cap and preventing you from being able to go out and get somebody else. So it's not so much voidable years; it's just guaranteeing the big money the first couple of years of the contract, and then maintaining great flexibility beyond that. If you look at Derek Carr's contract this year and next year, it's non-guaranteed. You know, he got the bulk of his guaranteed money over the first few years of that contract, and since then he goes on a year-to-year basis where the Raiders, if they so choose — they're not going to do this, but if they so choose — they could say, okay, Derek, time's up. We're going to move in another direction. And the remaining portion of his contract, which is $22 million this year, I think, and like $19 million next year or so, they could walk away from that scot-free and not feel any sort of an impact on that.
Standing though, like Big Ben had he had 1 year left and he was like a $40 million cap hit this year. So they restructured it. He's got a 3-year contract now. Everybody knows he's only going to play one more year. And then they tacked on two voidable years. And so his cap hit was greatly reduced this year, and then there's going to be a dead money charge now. It's just kicking the can down the road. And
yeah, let me look at keep on talking because I'm going to look at the Steelers. I remember reading or hearing that they were restructuring that contract, and I'm going to take a look at it really, really quick here. Give me 1 second. So
voidable year is just tacked on a couple of years, and it enables you to spread the cap in.
I know the concept for sure, and sometimes that can be a little bit dangerous because — and we'll see if where he is. He dropped all the way down to where — oh, Ben Roethlisberger is now playing on a $14 million contract, current contract. Yeah, he's done after this year. I mean, it looked like whatever he was being paid, and yeah, that I see what they did. He went down to a base salary of $1 million this year, got a signing bonus, turned that into a signing bonus of $15 million. Looks like he gets a restructure bonus of $9 million. So what they did was they took $24 million out of salary and put it to bonuses. And right. the issue is they're going to have to still pay him, even though he might not play next year. He's not under contract next year. They're still going to have to pay him $2.5 million in a signing bonus. He's going to be a cap hit of $10 million, whether he plays or doesn't play, represents a $10 million cap hit next year. Now, they may restructure it again next year and sign him and get out from under that. But that signing bonus prorates over 5 years, the last 4 years are voidable. So they did get a little bit creative in that regard. They were in dire straits, if I remember correctly, with the Steelers.
He was a $40 million cap hit.
But right.
I get my stuff from over the cap, and the only time I've seen voidable years was under like the Ben type situation. And when I was going through the Raiders contracts, I noticed a couple of them had voidable years, and I was like, geez, you know, the Steelers were desperate. I mean, he was a $40 million cap hit this year. He's done. There's no way.
So basically, he had 1 year left on his contract at $40 million. Is that kind of what I'm reading here?
Yeah, that was his. That was the cap. And I'm not sure it was cash out the door this year, but they restructured and restructured and restructured, and it just, you know, came down to this year. It was time to pay the piper, and it was going to be to the tune of $40 million. So they reduced his salary this year, and they tacked on two voidable years. So they made it, you know, a manageable cap at this year, and then there's going to be a dead money charge next year. Maybe for the next 2 years, I'm not sure.
No, it doesn't look like I'm looking. I'm voiding 2023 and dead cap zero, cap saving zero, dead cap pre post. Yeah, he doesn't. He will cost them if they. If they void it next year, or if they get out from under it next year, there is a if it's a pre 6/1 release, dead cap is 10.3, and it's actually the same. It's either way. If he's released before June 1st, there's a dead cap of 10.3. If he's traded pre 6/1, there's a dead cap of 10.3. If he's post-released, you know, post 6/1 release. Oh, wow. Okay. If he's released after 6/1 next year in 2022, then there's a dead cap goes to 2023 of $10.3 million. And same if they trade him after 6/1 next year. So basically what would happen is if they wait to release him after June 1st next year, the dead cap hit goes from 2022 to 2023. So that's kind of a creative way to do that. But yeah, you don't want to get into that world. It looks like they were able to kind of figure out a way that, and I think didn't Ben say that he wanted to help the team a little bit? Like he was going to do something that really, you know, was able to help the team. And it looks like, you know, that's what happened. But, you know, there are going to be times where you get into that kind of a situation, and the Raiders over the years have been in situations like that, or just situations where, the dead cap total was really damaging, especially with players that were no longer on the team, obviously, and it really limited them and it hurt them. They've kind of wised up. They've got great leadership when it comes to the salary cap. There's people in that Raiders building who truly believe they've got the best guy in that role in the National Football League. And you know, that the cap person in any building is such a huge, important person in the buildings, because, you know, they sit over there and they have it. You know, they know it, and you have to listen to them, and they're going to give it to you straight, and they understand a very complicated situation like no other, and they're trying basically to keep you out of trouble in terms of, like you said, kicking the can down the road. Yeah, you can kick the can down the road. You could get some temporary relief here or there, but you don't want to keep doing that, because eventually you have to pay the piper, and what the last thing you want to do is be paying the piper in terms of your salary cap when that player is long gone. You just don't want to get into that situation. So, you know, it's Tom Delaney is who does it for the Raiders, and he's very well respected around the NFL. And if you look at the Raiders and where they are with their salary cap, they're in really good shape. And on top of that, you know, if Gus Bradley can work his magic with some of these young defensive players, the Raiders are going to have a nice complement of young players defensively going into next year, along with a very favorable salary cap situation. Now you look at the offensive line, and you've got Colton Miller locked up, so you have cost certainty with Colton Miller, your left tackle. you got a rookie right tackle, so that's going to be favorable to the salary cap. You've got a quarterback going into the next year, this year and next year, who's playing at a below market value. Josh Jacobs will be still on his rookie deal, as will Cleve Farrell, Trayvon Mullen, Jonathan Abram, Max Crosby. So they're in a pretty good. Trayvon Moehrig, obviously, they're in a really good position, especially if some of these players truly either pan out with the rookies or take big step forwards as these second and third year players. And if so, then they're going to be in a really, really, really good position next year. So, you know, kind of interesting to look at that and to talk about the Raiders in terms of being in good shape with salary cap. They were kind of one of those teams that was in salary cap hell there for a little while. They've lived to tell about it, and they're in a much better position now. Back out to the Raider Nation listener line. Mitch is in New Jersey and wants to talk about wide receivers and tight ends. How you doing, Mitch?
Good. Vinny, how you doing? You got your bags packed?
I do. Absolutely. Ready to go.
Smart guy.
Yeah.
Make use of time. Yeah, you know, time is precious.
Well, yeah. Well, especially when you have a wife that's like cracking the whip, you know, and making sure you stay on target. So that helps a little bit. We all need a little bit of you know, swift kicks to the butt to make sure that we're staying on time.
You don't mind me asking where you're going? I know you're not going to L.A. or San Diego.
I'm actually going to Italy, so looking forward to it. I'll be in Naples, Amalfi. The southern part of Italy, visiting with some relatives that I have in Italy. So, headed to Italy for a week.
Well, have a great time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
That was wrong. So it's not like a great poker hand, but with the Raiders, they have a legit number one in their Ruggs. They want a top three tight end. And I like three other wide receivers, you know, needs to get Edwards, Renfro, I'm forgetting somebody else, that one from Buffalo.
It's like John Brown, Willie Snead, Hunter Renfro, Zay Jones, Henry Ruggs, yeah, Bryan Edwards. It's an interesting group, and there's a lot of different skill sets in that group.
Someone's like a poker hand, two ones, you know, two aces and three kings. I'm not really going to lose too much credit for some of the other wide receivers, but I think Carl's going to have a great year. Well, enjoy your vacation.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it, Mitch. Q Myers will have us covered throughout my absence, so don't be a stranger. Give Q a call. He's going to do a great job. Can't wait to listen in wherever I might be, whatever time it might be. I think this wide receiver group, I think there's some certainty. I think the Raiders know what they have in John Brown. They know what they have in Willie Snead. I think Hunter Renfro, obviously, is a known commodity at this point. Obviously, you got to kind of throw Darren Waller into there. I know he's a tight end, but he's the best receiving weapon on the team. And so they know what they have, and they feel pretty good about it. I think they're going to feel really good, about it if Henry Ruggs can be who they envisioned when they drafted him 12th overall last year, and if Bryan Edwards can take a big step forward in year two. If that happens, that wide receiver room turns from pretty good to potentially very good. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignore. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignore on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
What's good, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM on a Wednesday. You're in the Huddle with Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. Getting excited to welcome some new family members into the fold. We'll get to that soon after I get back. Really excited about what's going on in that regard. Excited, obviously, to go on this vacation. It's been a little while. Really happy to see like the world is kind of opening up post COVID-19. But we all still have to be really careful. But mostly, I'm excited about when I get back. The Raiders are, as will everyone else in the NFL, be opening training camp. And I actually think there's four teams that open it next week. somewhere along the line. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously, they're going to play in that Thursday night opener. I forget who their opponent is, but you know, I think the Steelers and Cowboys play in the Hall of Fame game, the preseason Hall of Fame game. So, you know, it's all predicated on days out from your season opener or preseason opener of when you start training camp. But there's four teams that are going to start training camp, I think, the middle of next week. So we're getting there, and the Raiders will follow very soon after here in Henderson. Looking forward to getting out to California. The Raiders are scheduled to practice against the Rams, my old friends with the Rams out in Thousand Oaks, right before their preseason game against the Rams on August 21st over at SoFi Stadium. I really believe that's going to be beneficial for the Raiders, and for a lot of different reasons. The Rams are, you know, among the favorites in the NFC to perhaps represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. I know that, you know, talking to some my Rams peeps, that's the expectation. They truly believe they have a Super Bowl caliber team, a Super Bowl caliber quarterback in Matthew Stafford. And I think that that's going to be beneficial for the Raiders to get out to Thousand Oaks and practice against the kind of quality team that the Rams are. And I really believe that this year's version of the Raiders is in a much better position to compete, honestly, even in practice, with the Rams than they were a couple of years ago. I remember coming up, going up to Napa Valley with the Raiders or with the Rams in 2019. And there was a talent discrepancy. You could see some, you know, like Darren Waller. I remember seeing it. That was the first time we saw Darren Waller. At least I saw Darren Waller up close and personal. Remember that was when the wide receiver from the Pittsburgh Steelers was just right in the middle of all that drama. So he wasn't out there. His name is escaping me, and I don't mind that. Considering everything that he caused for the Raiders and my friends on the beat that were pulling their hair out of their head, trying to keep up with everything that was going on with all that Antonio Brown. But you saw some talent with the Raiders. You knew Derek Carr, you know, was a good quality running or quarterback. Josh Jacobs was a rookie running back. You saw some of the young players like Klee and Max Crosby and the offensive line, Colt Miller, certainly. But you could tell that it wasn't a complete puzzle yet. That Raiders team in 2019 certainly wasn't a complete puzzle. And I think they closed the gap. I think they found a whole bunch more pieces from 2019 to 2020, but it still wasn't a complete puzzle yet. That happens. It's hard to build. It's hard to complete that puzzle in the NFL, especially when you are missing as many pieces as John Gruden was missing when he got here with the Raiders, and some of the pieces that he had to replace. It takes a little while. There's only a certain amount of money that you can spend under the salary cap each year. There's only a certain amount of draft picks that you're going to have. The Raiders, I felt, did an excellent job building that offense. The offense has been a step ahead of that defense for a little while now. That was pretty obvious even in 2019. I think they're starting to close the gap on defense. I think they've got talent. There's a foundation there defensively. And I think with the new coach, Gus Bradley, maybe he ties it all together. But just going out to California to practice against the Rams, I think is going to be beneficial. And I can't wait to see what it looks like as far as that Raiders offensive line working against Aaron Donald and that Rams defensive line. I know Aaron Donald is going to put them through the ringer, and that's fine. It might not look great all the time. It doesn't always look great for the Rams offensive line when they have to deal with Aaron Donald day in and day out, but that's fine. I remember talking to their former offensive line coach, Aaron Cromer, and the message that he would have to his players. Good. You want to struggle? Get it out of the way. First of all, very doubtful you're going to be playing anybody better than number 99 over there. So if you want to look at it from that perspective, it gets a whole lot easier when you're not dealing with that dude. And I think the Raiders will benefit from working against Aaron Donald. And just to put how he can wreck a practice in perspective, Sean McVay's first year, and obviously Sean McVay was the offensive coordinator in Washington. He's an offensive coach. We all know that. It's practice one training camp in Irvine of Sean McVay's first year. And they end the practice with a good 20-minute 11-on-11 first team offense, first team defense. And no secret here, but on that day, the defense pretty much kicked the offense's butt, okay? And so we talked to Sean McVay after practice. And remember, this is Sean's first practice, first official practice as head coach. And we're gathered around him, we're talking to him, and I could see the red in Sean McVay's neck under, you know, he was fuming. He was pissed off, basically, right? And he's usually one of the more personable guys that you're going to talk to, head coaches in the NFL. But you could tell that he was testy. Something was bugging him. He was mad. All right. And so at first I wasn't putting two and two together. But the more we talked to Sean McVay, the more I started realizing he's really pissed that his offense got the heck beat out of it by that defense. Like, he's that competitive, right? So after, or it might have been the next morning, I was talking to somebody, in the Rams front office, and I told him, I go, hey, I might be misreading the situation. I go, but it sure felt like Sean took that personally yesterday when the offense couldn't get it going against that defense. It looked like he was pissed off about it. And the front office guy laughed, and he's like, it's so funny you should mention that, because that is exactly what happened, to the point where that person had to pull Sean McVay aside and say, hey, you know, and he was like, just, you know, muttering MF and all that, you know, just pissed that it wasn't the offense's day and the defense got the best of him. And the front office guy said, hey, look, Sean, you also coach the defense now. You're not just coaching the offense like you did in Washington. This is your whole team. So look at it as a good thing that you got that defense. And McVay was like, yeah, you're right. You know, and then I ended up talking to him about it. He goes, I was livid. He goes, but then I realized, you know, that's my team too. But nevertheless, he hates when that happens. But Aaron Donald is liable to do that to any offense during any practice. And it's going to be interesting to watch him in October 18th and 19th out in Thousand Oaks work against a very young, in many ways, Raiders offensive line. But I think it's going to be truly beneficial for them. Hey, just want to say thanks to Carolyn Mano for joining us. Today, she's going to be coming back very soon to talk to us, updating us about the Olympics, the NFL, the New England Patriots. Want to say thanks to all the callers. Thank you so much. You're why we do this. We appreciate the interaction and the engagement and the support. Want to say thanks to Devon Cotton for doing everything he does over at home base. Embajador Tequila, appreciate all the efforts. Can't wait to start talking about some new family members that are going to be jumping on board here as well. You guys have a great week. I'm going to miss you guys. You know that. I'll be back on July 25th, Monday, the night before the opening of training camp. Be safe, be well, enjoy it. Give Q Myers a listen, 4 to 6 p.m. The show's in great hands. Trust me, Q's going to be teeing it up over the next 8 days or so, and then he's going to slide back hosting his show, Unnecessary Roughness, from 2 to 4 p.m. here on Raider Nation Radio. And so, happy that he's going to have my back over these next 8 days or so. You guys are in really good hands. Take care of yourself. Ciao. We'll talk to you in a little over a week. Hey guys, it's Vinny B. Raider Nation in the Huddle is all about giving our fans the best opportunities in life. TAT is a new product that allows smokers to enjoy the sensations of smoking with zero tobacco and zero nicotine content. Finally, a cigarette you could feel good about, similar to Raider Nation rituals of winning championships. TAT offers the Beyond Nicotine experience with its Beyond Tobacco-based material in taste, smell, touch, sight, and sound without nicotine or tobacco. TAT offers a better option to completely remove nicotine intake without compromising the smoking experience. TAT, Beyond Tobacco. Raider Nation, get your free pack of TAT today at TriTAT.com.